going to be speaking on identifying community venues for targeted HIV transmission control.
So thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Linda, for setting up my talk so nicely. So where I'll say sort of hit the punchline right up front. So where Linda, I'd like to build on Linda's talk in terms of temporality is critical. And also I would argue that place and networks, I mean, you argued networks as well, are critical. And so that's what I'll talk a little bit about today. So identifying places with current HIV transmission, HIV is an STI, may provide key targets for HIV control strategies. In U.S. cities, heterosexual STIs, including HIV, are endemic to specific neighborhoods characterized by high poverty, crime, and unemployment, and low social cohesion and social control. It's often argued that these characteristics are markers for the presence of core populations, which are responsible for maintaining local endemic rates of STIs. Core populations, we theorize, create local, dense, interconnected networks that propagate transmission independent of the personal risk behaviors. In this study, we've chosen to look at heterosexual HIV transmission, which has key similarities to the sexual transmission of other infections, such as syphilis and gonorrhea. Each of these infections is more likely to transmit, or if you will, has a higher force of infection in the earlier infection time period, such as in the first 6 months for HIV and for syphilis. Key to the heterosexual transmission of HIV is identifying places that in addition to having transmission networks, also have persons more likely to transmit, such as individuals who have been recently infected. A long-term goal of this work is to identify places with current HIV transmission that may provide key targets for HIV control strategies. Why is this important? I barely need to say this in this group, but in Baltimore City, which and similar cities to Baltimore, which is a mid-Atlantic city in the U.S. with a population of about 650,000 people, since 2002, we have experienced an increase in the proportion of HIV infections that are found among young Black women and are attributable to heterosexual, to high HIV risk heterosexual transmission. And that's specifically sex with an HIV-infected individual or sex with an injection drug user. This article just came out just the other day and talks about Black women in Baltimore City are infected with HIV at a higher rate than the national average. African-American women in Baltimore and five other U.S. cities are becoming infected with HIV at a rate five times the national average for Black women and closer to the rates of some African countries. So the objectives of this analysis and this talk today were to determine the prevalence of HIV at community venues, and I'll talk a little bit why we chose community venues, to determine the likelihood of current venue-based HIV transmission by comparing current high HIV risk, heterosexual and parental behaviors by HIV infection status of the venue. And what I mean by that is whether a venue had any HIV infection identified at all at the venue, so at least one case. And then to identify features of venues associated with current HIV infection status of the venue. So we moved to community venues using sort of a hybrid of multiple methods to identify community venues, one being the priorities for local AIDS efforts, or the place-based methodology developed by Sharon Weir, also some of the early methods developed by the Young Men's Survey. And we went to community venues because in our household surveys, we do not find a lot of HIV infection, and particularly heterosexually acquired HIV infection. Even in our STI clinics, we don't find a lot of numbers. So we went out into the community to see what was out there. Our third objective, just to talk a little bit about, is more about, so if we can identify these venues, we can actually do control and prevention and control activities at these venues. If we can identify characteristics then we can go find these in an easier way. This was a venue-based cross-sectional study conducted in Baltimore, Maryland from 2008 to 2009. Our target population was 18 to 35-year-olds, English-speaking and sexually active in the past 3 months. We conducted with our participants, we had them self-report their behaviors. We also conducted key informant interviews with individuals at these venues. And we collected biologic samples for HIV testing using OraSure. We went through a very lengthy process in venue identification. And if you'd like, I'll briefly cover some of the details here. But if you'd like more details, please come see my poster, which is P125. And at that time, so this is all about a venue-based analysis. In that, at that, for that poster, it's about an individual-based analysis. So what we were seeking to do was to identify areas and venues that are likely or reported to be heterosexual sex partner meeting places. We used a number of secondary administrative data sets, such as gonorrhea surveillance data. We also used Baltimore City Police data on arrest rates and a number of other secondary sources. We conducted community informant interviews. This is part of the place-based methodology. To identify places that people reported were sex partner meeting places or commercial sex workplaces. We also conducted interviews with patients at municipal STI clinics. We asked them where they met their partner, and we took those addresses. And we used a strip club directory, an online strip club directory for specific venues. The areas that we identified, which were census block groups, we conducted brief windshield tours of the areas. That's, yes, that's windshield driving in a car around these areas. And the point was to see whether there were actually people congregating there, whether it was a, and we used specific inclusion-exclusion criteria, which I think I cover in a moment, but to see whether there were actually people there. We were looking for outdoor heterosexual sex partner meeting places. We conducted key informant interviews at each venue, and three key informant interviews for each of the 129 venues to confirm the venue actually was a heterosexual sex partner meeting venue and to gather information about that venue. Among the high traffic, so we only then selected those venues that were high traffic, had a volume of participants there, and were reported to be heterosexual sex partner meeting venues. We then used a mobile van that you see here to recruit and enroll participants. And we enrolled about 20 participants for each venue. Among the 1,641 participants enrolled at the 87 venues that we selected, for this analysis, we excluded about 15% for the following reasons. We excluded 8% where either key informants or participants reported that men who reported having sex exclusively with men, that was that type of a venue, because again, we were very interested in heterosexual sex partner meeting and not specifically MSM venues. We also excluded 7% due to missing information. Either we didn't have an HIV test or some of the information off the survey. So for this, the sample size for this study was 1,391 individuals from 87 venues. So let's go to, I'm going to jump right to the results of each objective. So objective one was to determine the prevalence of HIV at community venues. We found across our venues, 87 venues, a 3% prevalence. And so among the 1,391 participants, there were 60 HIV cases. This was a 3% prevalence, 3% among males, and 4% among females. The range of the prevalence at the venue level was 0 to 25%. And you'll see the distribution of the venues here. Again, this is a venue-level analysis. So what you first see is 49 venues had no HIV at all. I believe 43% of venues had greater than or equal to one HIV case. And then you see how it sort of drops off in terms of the clustering of HIV at particular venues. We then sought to determine the likelihood of current venue-based HIV transmission by comparing current high HIV risk heterosexual and parenteral behaviors by HIV, so by if a venue had any HIV or no HIV. And what we found was that, and for each of these categories, they were statistically significant, so that you were, if it was an HIV venue, It was more likely to have participants who reported any high HIV heterosexual sex, again, this is sex in the past 12 months, sex with an IDU or sex with an HIV-infected individual, more likely to report commercial sex work in the past 12 months, and more likely to report either injection drug use in the past 6 months or needle sharing in the past 6 months. And in multivariable analyses, the HIV venues were 5 times more likely to have high HIV risk heterosexual behaviors. For objective 3, then, we were looking to identify features of venues associated with current HIV risk behaviors. So ideally, in order to identify these venues quickly in the future for prevention and control, we'd like to be able to characterize them and identify stable characteristics of them. And so we asked specifically about drug markets and sex markets, so whether drugs were bought and sold there, and we asked that of key informants. We also asked it of participants, which I don't include there. And none of these were statistically significantly different, although you see that HIV-positive venues were more likely to be drug markets, more likely to be sex markets, or more likely to be both. The drug market was borderline significant but did not reach statistical significance. We did not, and I should mention as a limitation, we didn't ask a lot of rich information about the drug markets. We basically simply asked, are drugs bought or sold here? We asked a little bit about what kinds of drugs were bought and sold, but for the future, that's what we'd like to do, a lot more rich work or ethnographic work in understanding the drug climate at these venues. So there are a number of limitations. Of course, the temporality of the data collection. This was one cross-sectional study. There may be misclassification due to the limited data collection, as I just mentioned. When you're working in community venues and fast on the street, you know, you're looking to do very brief, quick questions. And then we weren't able to ascertain the individuals that were recently infected. So those techniques, and that's work that we hope to do for the future, the techniques to identify individuals who have been recently, within the last 6 months, infected with HIV, still is an ongoing work in progress. So this study highlights the importance of identifying high HIV risk venues for the screening and treatment of HIV individuals. Venues may be key targets for HIV transmission control, and particularly heterosexually acquired HIV or heterosexual transmission of HIV. This successful method for identifying HIV cases has the potential to be paired with targeted control programs and evaluated. Some of our next future steps are to determine the stability of identified HIV risk venues. So we'd like to see that they're sort of repeat venues that light up in terms of HIV over time, and to identify significant venue-level characteristics which distinguish them as transmission venues. And then, as I mentioned, to use evolving methods to determine HIV positives who have been recently infected. I'd like to thank my funders and collaborators, and I'm happy to entertain questions.
Great. Thank you so much. Since Dr. Jennings' talk was so interesting, and I didn't want to interrupt her anymore, we only have time for about one question, if anybody has a question.
Sorry. I get going.
A short question.
Houston, Texas Department of Health and Human Services. For black women in Baltimore, what are you all doing for the intervention side of it to obstruct the proliferation of new diagnoses?
So part of my work is focused on identifying where are the places in terms of where are the networks, where is this happening, where is the transmission occurring, and what we think is that it's occurring out of these community venues. We'd like to identify where those are and the stability of those so that then we could do some targeted prevention. I mean, we have a growing arsenal an arsenal to address prevention and control for HIV. So that's ideally what we'd like to do in the future. But I think we still have a bit of work to do here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So there may be time for questions at the end. So if you have additional questions, just hold them for the very end of the session. Great. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Sorry. No, you did a great job. Thank you.